Good morning. Welcome to Campbell Bible Church. Thank you for joining us today. We're going to be in Galatians chapter 5, if you want to open there with me. Galatians chapter 5, we're going to be looking at the love one another passage that we have for this month, but we're going to look a little bit deeper and actually look at the entire chapter that it sits in. I think this would be a great context for us to better understand what God is trying to teach us here in Galatians chapter 5. So let's begin here in verse 1. It says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage." Now, there's so much in this one verse that we could just hang out right here for our whole time, but I want to just get a basic dissecting and then you can meditate it more on it later. And by the way, this is a great verse to meditate on and to memorize. Now, what's the first word here? That's right, it's stand. Now, does anyone have anything different? No? Okay, no one has sit in their Bible or lay down? No, they don't. They have stand. So to begin, we know that the Apostle Paul is calling on gospel believers to not lay down, to not sit on the sidelines either, but to stand. And how does it say that we are supposed to stand? Stand fast or stand firm. Yes, the Greek word here for stand fast means to stay where you are at and not to move, but to persevere in your place. Now, to me, this reminds me of that lonely lighthouse. Oftentimes when we see a lighthouse, it's out on a cliff. It's all alone. It's not surrounded by people or other houses. It's not typically in a warm area. It's off in its own little spot in a cold area that is just getting battered by the wind. It's battered by the water. But it's still expected to stay where it is at. And it is also expected to keep shining its light brightly. Not dimly, but brightly. Now consider 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 13, which says, "Watch, stand fast in the faith, be brave, be strong." That means to keep persevering. Stay where you're at. Don't run away, but stay fast. Stand fast in the faith. Stay where you're at. Keep standing and keep moving forward. Now again, here in Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, it says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage." Now liberty here is freedom. You have the freedom or the right to make what choices that you want through Christ. Now, this means that you can choose to leave your sin. You can choose to go back to your sin. You can choose to fight back against your sin nature. You can choose to hide from it. Now, here in our text, we are being encouraged to get out of it and never go back to it again. Do not be entangled, here the Apostle Paul says. Now this reminds me of every time I have to use an extension cord because I tend to pull from the wrong direction and it gets all tangled up. I don't know if you have this problem, but it becomes such a big tangled mess. It's like when I pull out Christmas lights out of the box every year, they tend to get all wrapped up and it takes me forever to get them untangled. Something that may take someone just a few minutes to get ready, I end up spending 30 minutes having to get all these things untangled. I have no idea how it got that way. But this is the way it happens in the Christian life. When we get tangled up in the wrong things, tangled up in the wrong teaching, or in the wrong philosophies, or tangled up in sin that we have already confessed and left behind. And it takes a good deal of work to get untangled and straightened out again. Now, do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage. Now, the yoke was a wood cross piece that would fit on the necks of two animals to hold them in place and attach them to a cart. Now, once you are in that yoke, you are stuck. You are going to be hard-pressed to get out. Now, the Apostle Paul is trying to show gospel believers that they are unchained from their sins. So be very careful that you don't ever go back to it. Be very careful that when the temptation comes to just take a little peek, to just consider it for just a moment, to instead stay completely away from it, because you will be stuck again. And every time you go back, it is harder to get out. Now, once more, Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage." Now, there was something that the believers here in the Galatian church were tangled up in. You see, they were being taught by some false teachers that they needed to go back to the Mosaic Law, back to the Ten Commandments and the written rules that were given to the Israelites, as we see in the books of Exodus, Leviticus, and Deuteronomy. But they were no longer under that law. They now had the freedom in Christ not to follow a checklist of rules, but to openly make their own choices. What some called good became a yoke of bondage to them. Well, let's continue on here in verse 2. The Apostle Paul continues and says, "Indeed, I, Paul, say to you that if you become circumcised, Christ will profit you nothing. And I testify again to every man who becomes circumcised that he is a debtor to keep the whole law. You have become estranged from Christ, you who attempt to be justified by law. You have fallen from grace. For we, through the Spirit, eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but faith working through love." Now let's pause here for a moment. Paul is suggesting that just because you follow what the Mosaic Law says, and he is speaking to both Jews and Gentiles here, just because you follow the law from the Old Testament, and just because you may follow what the Pharisees have taught you, does not mean that you are a gospel believer or have a relationship with Christ in any way. Now, we see here that the people are trying to acknowledge their relationship with Christ because they followed through with the physical things that the law said. Now, today, that would be like someone saying that they do good things. They give to the poor and they go to church on Sunday, so they must have a relationship with Christ. I remember years ago talking with a man about his salvation, and he was convinced at 40 years old that he absolutely was a Christian. Now, it wasn't by anything that he had done personally, but because his parents were Catholic. And he believed that their personal relationship passed down through the family to him. Besides, he did good things. His family did good things, therefore he must have a relationship with Christ. He must even have salvation. Now, the Apostle Paul says here in verse 6 that none of the outward things do anything for you, but only faith working through love. Faith in Jesus Christ is what guarantees you salvation. Faith and love is everything. Who you place your faith in will determine what you do with your life and how you live it. Now, what the churches in Galatia are doing are promoting a false teaching that they just need to follow this checklist and everything will fall into place. Now, something interesting to note is that Jesus never gave a checklist for salvation. In fact, if I asked you today for one verse or maybe one short passage that walked you through the process of salvation to the process of sanctification, could you name me one? Do you know of one that just walks you through a checklist? Do this, do this, do this, do this, do this. No. We don't see a checklist style of information given to us because God doesn't want us to follow a checklist in life. He wants us to have a genuine relationship with Him. Now, if I live my life by a checklist, then I'm always going to be thinking about that checklist. I will find myself doing the bare minimum instead of doing my best. And think about it. If the relationship with my wife was all based on a checklist, I would look at that list every day and love her to the extent of what the list told me to, instead of looking for ways that I can love her more, which is not much of a relationship. God wants more than a checklist. He wants His creation to love their Creator. Now we see a specific message from Paul to the believers in Galatia. Look with me at verse 7. He says, "You ran well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth?" Now, Paul's going back to his analogy about running the race that he has used many times. Now, remember 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24? It says, "Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it." In other words, don't run like you're going to be handed a participation award, but run like you actually want to win. Now, Paul says in verse 7, "First, you ran well." In other words, you began your race well. You were doing so good. But then he says, "What happened to you? How did you get sidetracked?" But more specifically, "Who prevented you from obeying the truth?" Now, there were false teachers who found their way into the church and preached and taught that what they were doing was good. Following God was good. Faith in God was good. But they also needed to do good works. They also needed to follow the checklist to make sure that they were doing all of the good things so that they could earn their passage into heaven. Now, this same message we hear today from many religions, including some that claim to be Christian, works-based salvation. And guess what? It is nowhere in the Bible. So Paul is questioning where it came from because it has stopped the Galatian church from following the Lord. And instead, they are being pulled back down into that yoke of bondage. All right, look with me at verse 8. "This persuasion does not come from Him who calls you. A little leaven leavens the whole lump." Now, Paul says this persuasion. Now, persuasion means doctrine or teaching. "This teaching does not come from God." And again, it's nowhere to be found in the Bible. This is Satan's teaching to guide you down the wrong path. Now notice verse 9. "A little leaven leavens the whole lump." Now, has anyone here made homemade bread before? I made homemade pretzels once, and I learned that the dough required leaven. But I used several cups of flour, but in order for it to rise, it just took less than 1 ounce of leaven, and this bread mixture doubled. Now, it just takes a little bit to make it grow. Now, Paul's point was that it takes just a little bit of the wrong kind of teaching, and it corrupts everything. So it was with the church in Galatia. A little bit of the wrong kind of teaching has changed their perspective completely on salvation and the process of sanctification. Now, if nothing else, this shows us that we need to be incredibly careful with what we are bringing in from the world. Never assume. Let me say that one more time. Never assume. Now, I do my best to ask questions and never make assumptions about what people are thinking or even nowadays what they are saying. You know, more and more I have to ask people for their definition of a word that I have known my whole life but has now changed in our culture that so many people define it differently. Now, be careful what philosophies that you are bringing into your life from watching TV, even sports. watching YouTube, social media, podcasts, and the internet, and take what you are learning and compare it with what the scripture says. There are so many worldly teachings that have even infiltrated the church today that are very corrupt. But we need to be careful to never assume that if something seems wholesome or even Christian, that it is true to the Bible. Always go back and check for yourself. Well, let's continue in verse 10. Paul continues and says, I have confidence in you, in the Lord, that you will have no other mind, but he who troubles you shall bear his judgment, whoever he is. And I, brethren, if I still preach circumcision, why do I still suffer persecution? And the offense of the cross has ceased. I could wish that those who trouble you would even cut themselves off. So Paul continues in verse 10 that he has confidence in these believers through the Lord. Now make note of that. Paul isn't saying that he has confidence in them as people, that they can muster up whatever efforts that they can to change. He is saying that as long as they are trusting in the Lord, he has every confidence that they can move forward and get back into that race and get rid of these wrong kinds of teachings and philosophies in their lives and in the church. Now, as for the false teachers, they will receive judgment for what they have taught, and they should be cut off from even approaching the Galatian church, let alone teaching them again. Now, we are entering into our love one another passage for this month, starting with verse 13. It says, for you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Now, Christian liberty, again, Christian freedom to make choices on our own without a dictatorship or without a list that we have to follow, does not permit us to sin. Our Christian liberty never gives us a license to sin. Never. But it does broaden the opportunities that we have to care for each other, to pray for each other, and to serve each other. Because remember, we are to love our neighbor as we would love ourselves, especially our Christian brothers and sisters in the Lord. Now, the problem is that many Christians today use their liberty to expand their temptation to sin, to fulfill their lust of the flesh, to enjoy the sinful pleasures that this world offers. And so many of us today will take our liberty and justify whatever it is that we want to buy, what we want to do, what relationships that we want to participate with, even what jobs that we should take, even if they are areas that biblically we should not be partaking in. And what we tend to do is that we pull these things into the gray area. And the gray area is the line that sits between what is right and what is wrong. Now, there is a line. It's an imaginary line, mind you, that we will often talk about never crossing. Many times, in just conversation today, we say, well, I'd never cross that line. Now, the line is actually really thin. But when we really want something, what we do is we expand this line to be fairly wide. And we call that line the gray area, the unknown. It might be bad, but it could be good. Now, even though the Bible says, don't do it, you know that it's wrong. Do not be entangled with this yoke of bondage. We still question the technicality of the situation, like a lawyer working very hard to stretch the truth to get the murder charge down to a misdemeanor. And you might say, oh, I would never do that. But we all fall to this at times when we are tempted to have something that we know God would not approve of. Now, sometimes what we do is we jump in it before asking questions or before praying about it, because then we get what we want and then we can claim ignorance. I didn't realize that it was not a good relationship, okay? I didn't know that I should not have bought that item, and so on. Now, God wants us to pay attention to His Word, to not use the liberty that He has given us to make excuses for our sins and cause us to be reshackled to them all over again. God wants us to use our liberty to love and care and help each other. Now look with me at verse 15. But if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another. Now the church in Galatia was not working in unity, okay? Now think about it. You had one group that was following the false teaching and demanding that their way was the right way. And you had the other group following Paul's original teaching about simply coming by faith. And there was a quarrel in the church body. Now I have seen and I have heard of many, many quarrels in the church. The Bible teaches us so much about unity because a church, all they are is a group of people who are all sinners who naturally want what they want most. Now, disunity is something that is prevalent in a lot of churches today. Now, I've seen many congregations bite and devour one another by their words, by their attitudes, and by how they choose not to love and not to care, even by ignoring each other. So how can we guarantee that we are unified and that we are not biting and devouring one another? Well, it has nothing to do with a set of rules. And it has nothing to do with tradition. Let's look at verse 16 for this answer. Paul says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now we must walk in the Spirit. Now to walk in the Spirit means to walk by the guiding hand of the Holy Spirit. We do that by letting Him have His way. When He guides us to stay away from something, for instance, we stay away. When He convicts us to let go of that sin, we let it go. And when He introduces us to Scripture through our daily reading, by a podcast or in a sermon, we pay attention. Now that last one, we often make excuses for, because we assume that we randomly turn to this passage in the Bible. We assume that we randomly read this verse on the internet. We assume that the pastor randomly preached on this subject. We just happen to hear this verse, and we don't feel emotionally connected to it yet, so we don't make any changes. We just don't pay that much attention. Now, here's the thing. Nothing. Absolutely nothing is random for God. We are led to what we need to read in Scripture. We are given what we need to hear. Now, most pastors are praying and letting the Holy Spirit guide them for what to preach and what to say. There is always a reason that you are hearing certain pieces of the Word of God. Never assume that it was just happenstance. Never assume that you can disregard God's Word until you feel more emotionally connected to it. When we are walking by the way of the Holy Spirit's guiding, then our focus is going to be on unity, on loving and caring for each other, on forgiving each other, not on what we want most. Even in the hardships of life, even in uncomfortable situations, the Holy Spirit will guide us through them. And we can still be unified with our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. Now, the works of the flesh, our sin nature, are evident. And these verses from verses 19 through 21 give us some great understandings of what happens when we are living in our own sin. It says here, beginning in verse 19, now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in times past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, sin happens. And any time that our focus is not on God, sin will work to prevail. Your sin and my sin are measured the same in God's eyes. Your sin is not worse than mine. All sin is wrong, and all sin should be confessed and let go of. Now, there's a stellar opposite of these things, starting in verse 22. It says here, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires." Now, the fruit of the Spirit, again, this is the Holy Spirit. The fruit that our lives can produce when we fight against our sin and instead trust in God and follow the working of the Holy Spirit within us is not envy and murder, but love and joy, peace and gentleness. Now, these things are significantly different, but we must make every effort to daily crucify our flesh, our sin nature, because our sin nature is full of the wrong kinds of passions and desires. And we need to take the time to admit every day to God that we are in desperate need for Him and that our sin only holds us back. You know, instead of going back to our sin and getting tangled up in it, we need to take that sin every day and nail it to the cross. We need to crucify it. We need to put it to death and let it go. Verse 25 and 26 says, "If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another." And we need to live by the Holy Spirit's advising. And we need to walk by the Holy Spirit's guiding. We need to be careful as well that we don't become pompous. Sometimes people do when they're working to put off their sin. They look at others who are not putting off the sin in their lives. And what they do is they assume. They assume that they are better in some way because they are putting the sin out of their lives. They are growing in Christ maybe differently. They seem stronger. They seem more focused on what the Bible tells them. But the problem is, in this, when they make these assumptions about other people, they tend to become more conceited, and then they become more prideful. Now, their sin may be hidden, but they are still sinning. And we are all sinners in need of a great Savior. We need to stay as far away from our sin as possible and give it up for the Lord, and then never go back to it. Now, let me ask you in closing, what is your yoke of bondage today? What are you not fully giving up to the Lord? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord and Heavenly Father, I pray today that you would help us, that you would help us to put off those sins that so easily entangle us in our lives. Lord, we are all sinners in need of a great Savior. Lord, all of our sins are measured in the same way by you. We are not better than each other in any way because of the sin that we have committed in our lives. Lord, I pray that you would help us today to put off our sin once and for all. Help us to daily nail our sin to the cross and let go of our fleshly thoughts and our fleshly focuses, Lord, in order to follow you. Help us, Lord, to not get entangled in that sin and that bondage that has pulled us down so many times. Help us to not go back to our sin and put it back on and look for it, Lord God, but help us to be done with it once and for all. Lord, temptation is at our feet every day. And I pray, Lord, that we would be people of your word, that we would allow the Holy Spirit to guide us and to help strengthen us and help to show us the way past these sinful temptations, Lord. Help us to trust in you today. Thank you, Lord, for your love. Thank you for your saving power, your grace in our lives. Thank you for going to the cross for us, Lord. And thank you that by faith we can trust you and have your salvation. In your name I pray these things. Amen.